produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, ladies, and welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. My name is Dorothy Gates, and I'm your happy host today. And let me just say, welcome. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. If you're new here, this is a little community of mommies who are just gathering together to find a little bit of hope, a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of an encouragement. Because, look, we all know that motherhood is hard. Motherhood is not for the faint of heart. Motherhood is a journey that we're walking, and we want to walk together so we can help each other along the way, because there's a lot of discouragement, there's a lot of battles, there's a lot of frustrations in motherhood, and so often we think we're alone, but the wonderful truth is we're not alone. There are mothers all over the world eager to jump in and encourage, happy to give a little bit of support. So what this little community is a place for you just to know that you are loved, you are appreciated, you are worthy of that title, mother, and God gave it to you. God ordained you with the calling of being a mother. And with Mother's Day so close around the corner, today I just want to reflect on a motherhood and reflect on the joys of motherhood, but also talk about the struggles of motherhood too. And I'm going to share a little bit about how the Mommy Meltdown all came about, and basically my very first My very first meltdown experience as a new mother. So I'm going to kind of share these stories with you. But what I want to talk to you about today is the distractions in motherhood. Listen, distractions is one of the things that we fight with the most as a mother, because the devil is constantly throwing distractions our way to get us detoured from what is truly the most important thing in our motherhood journey. And I truly believe godly mothers, mothers who are desperately trying to raise their children for Jesus, are constantly being hit with one distraction after another. Because the devil wants to detour you down from the road that you're intended to go. Because as a godly mother, as a Christian mother, we are setting down on the road where we're leading our children to Jesus and we're training them to be good soldiers for the Lord. But then the devil comes in and he tries to sidetrack us by things that are good but are not most important. And this is where we struggle, ladies. We struggle with knowing the difference between what's good for our child and what's best for our child. And I just want to talk about that just a little bit today. Your child needs you. Needs you. Your child doesn't need your money. Your child doesn't need all the gifts that the world can offer. Your child doesn't need the next new gadget. Your child doesn't need the next new gaming device. Your child doesn't need one more travel team ball league or soccer league or Boy Scout meeting or whatever the big thing is that you're trying to keep up with. Listen, you do not have to keep up with the status quo. You do not have to do what everybody else is doing. Because when you're going down the road that is leading your child to Christ, that road looks different than everybody else's road. You see, everybody else's road is jammed packed with traffic, stoplights that are constantly stopping them, detours. It's chaos down that road. Hundreds of distractions, flashing lights, billboards. And the road you have picked for your family, for your child, looks completely different. And that's okay. You see, you're down the road that's less traveled. Because as you are training your child and taking them down the road, teaching them, investing in them, loving on them, praying for them, there are things that you're going to do differently than everybody else. And the world says you're not a good mom. If you don't give your kids name brand clothes and the newest Nike shoes, and if you don't give your kid the newest Game Boy device, Xbox, Nintendo Switch, if you don't sign your child up for this travel team ball, or if you don't sign them up for whatever the season offers, whether it's basketball or tennis or golf or soccer, the list goes on and on and on. And if you don't have them in guitar lessons, or if you don't have her in dance, and you don't have her in gymnastics and in piano lessons and in voice lessons, and she's not in Girl Scouts, she's not going to grow up to be a good citizen. And so what we've done is we have tied ourselves down. We have no resources anymore. Our money is gone. We're financially drained. We're emotionally drained. We're physically drained because we're on the go, on the go, on the go to the next thing that's supposed to make our child this great citizen. And we've gotten so busy being busy that we no longer have time at home. We no longer have the convenience of sitting around the table and talking about our day and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are exhausted from running from one thing to the next thing, eating dinner in our car because we're running to the next field. And all along, your child is desperately just wanting you, not the next thing. And now the home doesn't exist at home anymore. There are no meals around the table. There's no time for family Bible study, that family altar, that time together where you read together. The foundation of our home has been completely ripped apart because everybody's going down the road of chaos and the road of keeping up with everyone else and the road of keeping up with the status quo, and no one's on the road that's less traveled. And now we have children who are no longer seeking the Lord. We don't have children who are sensitive to the calling of the Holy Spirit because they're too busy trying to be and achieve the next thing. The world says that is what we are supposed to strive for. And God says, no. No, that's not the home that I designed. You see, the home I designed is a home where there's peace. The home that I designed has love and joy and long-suffering and gentleness, temperance, which is self-control. And I believe one of the things we're missing in today's home is self-control. That self-control that says, nope, you know what? That's not best for our family. That next thing is not best for us financially. It's not best for us spiritually. It's not best for us mentally. Because if it's going to cause chaos and busyness, that's just not best for us. Now listen, my whole thought today is not preaching against travel ball or our baseball or little league, nothing like that. Listen, my son is on a baseball team and we enjoy it and it's a part of our life, but it's not our entire life. Do you see what I'm saying? The moment you allow that thing that you're pursuing for your child to become more important than God, then that thing has become an idol. And the Lord Jesus says, if you want a home that's blessed, I have to be the center of it all. And if I'm not the center of your home, then what is? And unfortunately, we live in a day and an age where it's the thing that we're shoving our child into because we want them to get that scholarship for college. And we've allowed it to become our God. And mothers, listen, you are the heartbeat of your home. You are the one who can stand up and say, you know what? We need to take a step back and we need to breathe and we need to focus on our home again. You've allowed your children to become the head of your home. And God never intended it to be that way. God is supposed to be the center. God is supposed to be the head of the home. So today, mothers, please do not become distracted by what the world says is the status quo. Don't look to them to measure up. Look to God. Look to God and begin to implement your home and model your home in a way that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Evaluate your home. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, if you want a prosperous home, if you want that little bit of heaven on earth in your home, then it's got to be Jesus first. He is the center. He is the first. You seek him. And then everything else falls into place. The formula has already been set up for you, ladies. If you want to implement a beautiful home that's a strong core, a safe place, an oasis for your family, then you have got to put Jesus first. So ladies, today, don't become distracted. Do not become distracted by what the world says is what a home looks like and what a family should be like. Ladies, you have it in your hands to pull back the reins. It's in your control. It's in, you have been enabled to say, okay, you know what? Our plate's full, no more. So don't get distracted, ladies. Don't worry about what the world says. You have to have, you have to do, you have to get this. No, no. Your child doesn't need the next thing. Your child needs you. Your child needs you. So as we're preparing for Mother's Day, I just want you to keep that in mind. It doesn't matter how old your child is. Your child still needs you. Your child still needs you. So I'm a grown woman in my 40s. I have a son who is my little miracle baby. And right after I had my son, my mom came and stayed with me for 2 weeks, two glorious weeks. I had my mom, and I'm so grateful for her. And that's what I mean. Your children are never too old for you. So remember that on Mother's Day, that your children need you. They need you to continue to step up and be a godly woman in their lives. Be that godly influence. Evaluate your life. If your life has gotten out of control, grab it by the reins and say, okay, no more. And go to God and say, God, what can we get rid of? What can we do to simplify our lives? What can we do to clean our plate, to get back on the road, Lord, that's seeking you, that road that's less traveled? I'm tired of being on the road of chaos. I want to get on your road. So today, ladies, just remember, your child needs you. Your child never outgrows you. Your child will always need you. And may you have a blessed, blessed Mother's Day and enjoy time with your family and enjoy some loving, and maybe you get some good gifts. But what I wanted to do was, after I kind of gave you a little bit of my heart, I wanted to just share with you how the Mommy Meltdown got started, because I don't think I've ever shared this with y'all here on the radio show. So this will be a little fun story for y'all. Soon after I had my son, I began to realize how important sleep was. Right? Because sleep is the one thing you don't get during the stage of a brand new baby. And my son was on a very strict eating regimen where he had to eat every 2 hours. And we did that for months and months and months and months. And months into it of getting no sleep, I began to realize I was going crazy. And one night I was just exhausted, literally exhausted. I had not had probably more than 45 minutes of sleep at the longest. And my body was just giving out. And I can remember I had just laid my son down. He had a really hard time. We had a hard time figuring out what kind of formula he needed, and he just would have all kind of tummy issues. So it was like, as soon as he would eat, and he would have to eat every 2 hours, as soon as I would lay him down, it just seemed like immediately his stomach would begin to hurt. And listen, he was probably exhausted too. He wasn't getting good sleep, and I was just following the instructions of a doctor, which later if I was to do it over again, I would probably have just let my baby sleep and let him wake me up when he was ready to eat. But I was trying to be a good, obedient patient. And so I was keeping us on that schedule for months, and we were both exhausted, and we were both just beyond tired. And so anyway, so this particular night, I was literally at my wit's end, exhausted. And had just laid him down in his little crib, and I went to my room. It was probably like 3 o'clock in the morning. Went to go lay down. I had literally just laid my head on my pillow. And you know when you have that moment of, you just release and you can feel yourself falling asleep, but you only know you're fixing to sleep for about, you know, an hour and a half. And so that thought alone is so depressing. Well, I just laid my head down, and I could feel myself relax enough to where I was almost falling asleep, when all of a sudden I began to hear the cries and the cries and the cries and the screaming cries, and I began to cry. I began to cry, and I looked over at my husband, who was snoring so peacefully and had been snoring for hours upon hours, sleeping through the night. And I literally began to kick my legs and my arms on my bed, and I cried out, "Why? Why? Like, I just want to sleep." And I had my first mommy meltdown. And the thought hit me, you know, how funny it is that we as adults can have little meltdowns too. And it's okay. It is okay to have those meltdown moments. I think those meltdown moments allow us to continue on, because when we keep all of that emotion and all that stored up, it just, it'll overtake us and it'll overwhelm us. So that is how the mommy meltdown all began. And then there were where I, my second meltdown was when my son was about 6 months old, I guess, and he was crawling all over the house. He was just everywhere. And we have a little dog. We had a little dog at that time, and she required a little puppy pad. But I would typically try to keep that door shut where her puppy pad was. So, like, I would just kind of be mindful, like, if that puppy pad, you know, was around. But typically my son never went into my room, and I always knew where he was. You know, you always knew where your, you know, your baby was. Well, I was in the laundry room, and I was getting some clothes, and I noticed he wasn't in the laundry room with me. We had a pretty large laundry room at that house, and he wasn't in there with me anymore. So I thought, well, he's just in the living room. So I go on into the living room, and he's not in the living room. So I begin to think, well, he must be in his room. So I go on and peek in his room. He's not in his room. And then I get a little nervous. I think, uh-oh, he must be in my room. So I go and I check in my room, and sure enough, there he is in my room, over the potty pad where my little precious little dog, my little Multi-poo, had just taken a fresh, nice poo. And there's my six-month-old baby going to town with fresh, warm poo, stuffing it in his mouth. It's squeezed all in his hands, and he looks at me with the biggest smile, and it's dripping in between his teeth, and it's smeared all over his face, and it's stuffed in his nose, and he's googling and so happy, and I began to scream. I literally screamed my life away. I picked him up, yelling and screaming, "What are you doing?" And I'm crying, and then he begins to cry because he was so happy and so proud of the prize he had just found, and he wanted to share it with his mama, and mama's screaming and yelling, and I take his little chubby hand that has poop, just like he's got his fist clenched and poop is dripping out of his hand, and I take his hand and I begin to swing it back and forth trying to get it out of his hand, and poop is flying everywhere. So the only thing I need to do, run to the bathtub, throw him in the bathtub, get him cleaned because it's everywhere and it stinks so bad. And I'm crying and he's mad now because I'm trying to take away his precious prize. And I throw him in the bathtub, and without even thinking, I just throw him under the water, which is ice cold. And now he's screaming even louder, and I'm screaming even louder. And let's just say it was not a pleasant moment in our life. If I had the opportunity to do it all over again, of course I would have handled the situation so differently. But being a new mom and emotions running high, and the fact that my baby just ate dog poo had just made me pretty much snap. And I handled it in the worst case scenario. I handled it terribly. So that was my second mommy meltdown. And with each one of my little moments, though, I truly believe that God was making me a little stronger and allowing me how to handle the next situation. Because then my next mommy meltdown was probably one of the most terrifying moments that I had experienced as a new mommy. I was in the kitchen and I was, I don't even remember what I was necessarily doing, but I was in the kitchen and I turn around and I see my baby. Again, he was only, 7, 8 months old. I see him holding a steak knife, a sharp steak knife, and he's holding the blade in his hand and he's got it pointing to his little tummy while he's sitting there looking at it. He's sitting on the floor and he's just so, just curious about what this thing is that he's holding in his hand. And I began to panic. I began to pray, Lord, how do I handle this situation? If I try to take it from him, I remember how he handled the situation the last time when I tried to get the soft, warm poo out of his hand. He began to hold on to it even tighter. He clenched it for dear life, and he wouldn't let it go. And so I began to think, okay, I cannot try to take it away from him. If I try to take it away from him, he's going to grab a hold of that blade. He's going to hold on to it harder, and he's going to cut his little hands severely. All right. So then I began to think, okay, or he could grab it close to his little belly and he could even, you know, cut his little belly. So I began to pray, God, how do I handle this? I remembered the last time I handled it and I went crazy and then that just made everything worse. So the only thing I could think of was begin to laugh and clap my hands and play and just make it like it was this fun toy that he had. And mommy wanted to see this really cool toy. And I began to just laugh. And he began to laugh. And with his little chubby hands, he opened up his hands and he raised it to me so I could see this treasure he had found. And in that moment, I was able to grab it quickly. And I put it on top of the countertop and I began to sob. Like I literally had this mommy meltdown moment where all the scenarios went running through my head of what could have happened. And then in that moment, I began to thank God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. How that could have turned so ugly. And, you know, each time we have a mommy meltdown in our lives, I truly believe it's to help and prepare us for the next moment in life where we can be stronger and we can know how to handle the situation. And God is always with us. Ladies, never forget that God is with you and he will give you the wisdom on how to handle the situation, even the ugliest, scariest moments of your life and motherhood. Ladies, I'm going to go have a happy Mother's Day, and thank you for being a part of the Mommy Meltdown.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. 850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen. Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to this week's episode of the What Now God Radio Show. Hello, I am your host, Cheryl Woods. Thank you so much for tuning in. For those of you who do not know me, I am the author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together. You can get that on Amazon.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. I have an on-time topic for you on this week. And as you know, for What Now God Radio Show, we attempt to answer the question, what now, God? What now, God, do we do in the face of everything that's going on within us, in the world, and in those of the lives of our loved ones? So as we attempt to answer the question today, what now, God, I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. And we're going to focus on the topic. Today's topic will be, God has not forgot about you. God has not forgot about you. So sit back, relax, make sure to share this broadcast out with a friend as we get into a word of encouragement for today's show. God has not forgot about you. So there are three things that I want you to remember to all of my lovely listeners. Three things to remember when you're thinking that God has just forgotten about you, when you think that you have not seen the answer to your prayers, or you're just going through some things, whatever the cause is, God has not forgot about you. So number one, the first thing that I want you to remember is that just because we don't see God working, it does not mean He's not, okay? We cannot lean on our own understanding. We can't try to figure God out. Remember, the word tells us that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. I don't know about you, but I would rather trust God, knowing that He's got it, knowing that He's got me, than to rack my brain, my mind, and my spirit trying to figure things out on my own, right? So what does that mean when we say lean not on your own understanding? That just means that there are some things that are just not going to make sense to us, all right? We're humans. We're human beings, right? And unfortunately, there are emotions that come into play. There are our own past experiences that mold our understanding of what's going on in our lives. That's what's going on in the world. You know, everything from the pandemic to health issues to issues on the job, relationship issues, whatever it is that you're dealing with that's forcing you to ask that question, what now, God? we're only looking at them from our human mind, from our natural mind, right? But there's a spiritual warfare taking place. God is spirit. And yes, God's spirit lives in us. But sometimes it's hard for us to tap into that supernatural. It's hard for us to say, you know what? Let me take my hands off of this problem. Let me take my focus off of this problem. And what do? We get caught up in depression. We get caught up in the woe is me, in the fear, in the doubt that God has forgotten about us, thinking that God has, he has just forgotten about us. What am I going to do now? Well, we're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to trust that God is working all things together for our good, right? We're going to believe that just because we don't understand what's going on, that God has not forgotten us. He still got us. So number one is to not lean on your own understanding. And remember, God is working it out for you. No matter what your situation looks like, no matter what bad things that you're going through that's troubling your heart, your mind, your body, and your spirit, saints, God has not forgotten about you. So know without a doubt that he is working it out. So number two, I want you to remember that last time, praise God, that last time that God came through for you, okay? After all the tears, the hurt, the fear of you trying to do things your way, we've all been there, okay? Even to the point of sometimes turning our backs on God, when we're on the verge of just giving up, then bam, like out of nowhere, right? God shows up and he shows out. Remember the last time that God came through for you. Remember the last time that he answered your prayer, right? That you prayed and prayed. You got on your knees and you asked God to help you out. You asked God to provide. You asked God to heal. You asked God to save you. Remember that last time. Remember that joy, that peace that surpasses all understanding, right? He is still the same God. He's the same God who helped you out before, who saved you so many times. He has the power to do it again. All right? Let's stop forgetting all of the things that we have to be thankful for. If you're suffering from remembering the last time that God showed up and showed out for you, I challenge you right now. I challenge you to get out a list and write down every single thing that you are thankful for, whether it's today, whether it's yesterday, and then even go into the future. Start manifesting, believing, seeing those things that you want God to change in your lives, those things that you want God to bless you with. Write them down. Start getting happy. Be joyful, right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember the last time that God came through for you, because if he did it then, he can do it again. What God has for you is for you. It may be delayed. It may not come as we want it to come, right? Because a lot of times God answers our prayers and it doesn't look like anything that we thought it would look like, right? We ask for a new job. And God gives us our own business. We ask for more money. And God gives us ideas on how to make the money. We ask for a new house. And God sends us someone who is going to clean up our credit so that we can get that new house, right? So there's so many ways that God will come through for us. We just have to remember that if he did it then, he's going to do it again, right? God has not forgot about you. He has not forgot. So that first thing to remember is, just because you don't see him working doesn't mean he's not, right? We can't lean on our own understanding. The second thing is to remember that last time that God came through for you. Write it down. Write down a list of your blessings, those things that you are thankful for, those people that God has placed in your life that have blessed your socks off, okay? The angels that he has encamped around us that have saved us from danger, that have healed us, that have kept us out of harm's way, right? remember the last time that God came through. I'm telling you, if I could just thank God for everything that he's done for me, I would be thanking him for the rest of my life. And let me tell you, I plan to be old and gray in my hundreds on a rocking chair, in a rocking chair on my porch with my husband, old and gray, watching our kids and grandkids at the family reunion. So if I would write down everything, it would take a lifetime for me to thank God for everything that he has done, everything that he is doing, and everything that I know without a doubt that he is going to do, that he has yet still to do in my life. I pray somebody catch this. Somebody get excited right now just because of the fact that God has not forgot about you. You've been praying. You've been asking God to send you a sign. You've been asking God to make a way out of no way. Some of you have not even had the strength to pray. Some of you, God has counted your tears. He has listened to your sighs. And he knows, without even you uttering a word, he knows what you need. He knows what you're going through, right? God has not forgot about you. I promise you, he has not forgot about you. So number three, the third thing that I want you to do, and this is probably the most powerful thing that you can do, and that is to rejoice and praise him through it all, okay? Let me say that again. Rejoice and praise God through it all. No matter what things look like in the physical world, no matter what you're going through, no matter who let you down, no matter who counted you out, no matter who broke your heart, who lied on you, stole from you, cheated on you, okay, deceived you, no matter what they said about you that you know wasn't true, no matter how many jobs let you go, no matter how many people told you no, right, no matter how many times your loved ones have let you down, hurt your feelings, I want you to rejoice and praise him through it all. And yes, it is easier said than done. But honey, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. You have to get some of that good news in your spirit. Practice being genuinely happy, you guys. When you see others getting blessed, why? Because we want to praise God for all of his blessings, even if it's not directly connected to us. But when you see others getting blessed, know without a doubt that your time is coming too. Be happy for them. Praise God for them. He is an awesome God. Whether he's blessing me or blessing someone else, I have learned to be happy, because guess what? If he did it for them, I know he can do it for me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So be happy. Get some good news in your spirit, right? Surround yourself with those people who know how to pray. Sometimes you need to connect with some prayer words. Maybe you need to join a Bible study, right? Maybe you need to get online and find a church or your own church that does online services or online Bible study. Maybe you need to purchase a book, right? Or download a book if you have Kindle that's going to teach you how to pray, that's written by someone who knows how to pray. If you have not yet watched the movie War Room, ladies and gentlemen, watch the movie War Room. I pray it will bless you. I tell you, I know it will bless you. And it's going to teach you how to pray on a different level to where, whew, my God. Just watch the movie. I'm not even going to say anymore. Watch the movie War Room. If you're having trouble, if you're struggling to pray, if you're struggling not seeing answers to your prayer, watch the movie War Room, all right? Because we have to learn, you guys. We have to learn how to praise God through it all. I'm talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly, all right? We have to rejoice because God is on our side. And he cannot fail. I learned a long, long time ago, and I pray that you guys take this lesson and run with it. But one plus God is always the majority. So one plus God is always the majority. So as long as God is on your side, you are going to win. You are going to come out victorious. There is nothing and no one, not a devil in hell, not a person on earth, not a situation, a disease, nothing that can stand against you with God on your side. One plus God is always the majority. So learn how to rejoice through the good times, especially the good times. We should be thanking God. But when those bad times hit, when those storms of life come, when we don't know what to do or what to pray, learn to praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for bringing me out of this storm. Thank you for blessing my life. Thank you for blessing my loved ones. Thank you for healing. Thank you for providing. Learn to praise God. Hallelujah. The highest praise, right? And I get excited right now because, whew, my God, God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise God, we have to rest assured he is there in our midst. And like I said before, he is working it out. So three things, let me recap. Those three things that I want you to remember, those three things that you cannot forget when it comes to knowing without a doubt that God has not forgot about you. Number one, just because you don't see him working does not mean he isn't. He is working it out for your good. Number two is to remember the last time that God came through for you. God has done a great thing in your life. He has blessed you. He has saved you. He has put his very life on the line for you. So remember that last time that God came through for you and be confident that he will come through again and again and again. You get it? Praise God. And number three, rejoice and praise him through it all. Get some good news in your spirit, some prayer warriors around you. Surround yourself with those who know how to pray and praise God. And rejoice, because with God on your side, he cannot fail, right? So I just wanted to come here on today's episode as we talk about the topic, God has not forgot about you. Because if you look at the world, let's be honest, if you look at what's going on, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to think that God has just washed his hands of all of us, right? And said, forget these people, forget these, this world. But I'm here to encourage you. And as we ask the question, what now, God? What do we do now that we are going through all this mess and this stress and the struggles and the world seemingly done went crazy? What now, God? Now that COVID-19 is wreaking havoc on the world, what now, God? What now that I've lost my job, that money is low, the bills are piling up high? What now, God? Now that I am feeling all alone, lost family, friends, and forced to make sense of it all on my own, what now, God? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly the answer that Jesus gave when him and the disciples were on that boat in the midst of a raging storm. Now, a lot of you know this story, right? While Jesus slept, the disciples, I'm sure they were racked with fear. The waves were crashing all around them. Probably rain, thunder, and lightning crashing all around them. And I'm sure in their hearts, in their human hearts, right? Because we're all human. I know they must have been thinking, this is the end. They didn't have their mother or father to call on. And in that fear and that doubt, not knowing what was going to come, right? What did the disciples do? They woke Jesus up. And they said to him, they said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Imagine, just put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Imagine you being in that boat. You know, he's just preached Jesus. You just witnessed Jesus preaching to the masses. He's speaking in parables. Some of it you may understand, some of it you may not, but you know that you're in the presence of the master. And you guys go out on this boat and the master, our savior, Christ himself, Jesus Christ, is sleeping peacefully while the storm is raging around you. He's sleeping peacefully while the storm is raging around you. Now, I know a lot of you have been in that same predicament, right? And they asked, they woke Jesus up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I mean, to me, it's like the audacity. Y'all asking Jesus, don't he care? But hey, we're only human and we all have those thoughts. We all have those doubts, right? So Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Peace, be still." Let me say that again. Woo, my God, catch that. It's so powerful. He got up from his sleep and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down, y'all, and it was completely calm, like the storm had never happened, right? Jesus told those waves what to do and how to do it, and they had no choice to obey, right? He calmed the storm. So I say to you right now that no matter what storm that you're going through, Jesus loves you so much. And if you're asking Jesus, "Don't you care, teacher? Do you care if we drown?" We're drowning out here. It seems like we're drowning. Yes, Jesus cares. And God has not forgotten about you. He still has the power to calm every and any storm that is raging in you or around you. So be encouraged. Be blessed and just take a moment out of your day to thank God. To thank God for all that he's done. To thank God for all that he's doing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God has not forgotten about you. And I also want to challenge you all the listeners who are listening to the What Now Radio, What Now God Radio broadcast right now. Just take a moment out of your day. Go somewhere and get some quiet time. Open up your Bible or pull up your Bible app on your phone and just take some time out and read the entire chapter of Mark 4, okay? I pray that it will bless you as much as it continues to bless me. I just want to say stay encouraged. God has not forgotten about you. I pray that he shows up and shows out for you on this week. Commit every care, every worry, every fear to prayer in God. Commit your worries to God. Let go and let God. And on that note, thank you so much for joining in. Make sure you tune in every first and third Friday at 7:30 a.m. That's Pacific Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. on the East Coast. Tune in to the What Now God Radio Show and make sure to follow our page, What Now God Radio, on Facebook. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. God bless you. God bless you. And a happy Friday to all. See you all next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage. We'll be right back.
Greetings, everyone, and thank you for joining another episode of Made to Shine Inspirations. I am your host, Sonya Nelson, and I'm glad you're here. Today's topic is about being relentless. Relentless, an adjective. Synonyms include persistence, unwavering, nonstop. Picture this. The parable of the persistent widow, taken from Luke 18, 1 through 8, and it reads as follows. This is from the NIV version. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I want to read another version of this. Same message, but this version is the Message version of the same scripture. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought or cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him, my rights are being violated. Protect me. He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding. Then the master said, do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you he will. He will not drag his feet, but how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? Now, I don't know about you, but those scriptures say a whole lot. There is a lot of power packed into those few verses, to a point that you have to sit down and just kind of meditate on it. In essence, the widow was coming against opposition put on her by an unjust, corrupt judge. Yet, we learn through her persistence, not just one time, not just two times, but her persistence in prayer and action. She coupled that prayer and action. She didn't just pray and then just sat and waited for God to give her the answer. She acted on her faith. And because of that, justice was ultimately served. You know, sometimes you just have to keep going. And I have a habit of saying when I want to ask people something, I don't mean to bother you. Because my personality, the way I'm wired, I don't like bothering people. Or what I perceive to be something that's bothersome. But sometimes you do have to keep asking and keep on asking. Go back again and ask again. Sometimes you truly have to be relentless. Now, how persistent have you been since the start of 2021? Are there goals you are hoping to accomplish this year? Are you doing your due diligence to get those things going in your life? If you have lived any time on this earth, you have encountered some things that were not so pleasant. Loss of a job, loss of a loved one, loss of a relationship. Life can often throw lemons our way that can be very bitter to digest. You may encounter stumbling blocks along the path you are traveling in order to reach your destinations. And unfortunately, that may come in the form of a devastating loss. But what would you do? Yep, you guessed it. Make a tall glass of some good old-fashioned lemonade with those lemons. This message about being relentless first came to me, or was given to me, back in early 2016. And let's just say that that tall glass of good old-fashioned lemonade was starting to taste quite bitter. But let's rewind to a season of my life that I felt had almost taken me out. The year was 2011. I had recently graduated with my master's degree in education. And naturally, you know, I was thinking getting a job wouldn't be that difficult. Let me just tell you, was I ever wrong? Now, my story may not resonate with you, and perhaps you're sitting there thinking, you know, it couldn't be, or it can't be that hard to get a teaching job. You know, there is always a need for teachers. Well, that may be true, but not everybody's path to obtaining a job as a teacher is the same. For some, yes, it was an easy slip in through the door. For some, you know, there were not as many hurdles to jump. But for me, I can only share my experience. And maybe in this instance, I'm not the lone wolf. And it may not be so much with a job, or, you know, you may see something that you've experienced and something that I say. Like many in the search for the job or a job, you prepare. You prepare your resume, your attire. You research potential questions to ask, as well as find out about the place you're seeking employment. Easy peasy, right? As my students tell me, easy peasy lemon squeezy, Miss Nelson. Ha. Yeah. No. There were many interviews and crickets. Absolutely nothing through the hook out there, no fish biting. And after each rejection, and after each time of hearing absolutely nothing, I felt smaller and smaller. Coming home to my family many times, often disappointed, crying out to my husband a lot of times. My children, though much younger at this particular time, would come and hug me and offer words of encouragement to keep me going. I'm grateful I sowed some seeds into them early on in their life, words of encouragement, because when my cup was low, they came back and they were fillers of that many times, many, many times. But it got harder and harder to want to keep going. You know, has anybody been there that you just want to quit? You know, door after door was closing. On one particular scheduled, mind you, interview, the interviewer never showed. Now, this was at a career fair. Had talked to the individual, had written it down, scheduled it, prepared to show up. I was there. I was excited because the school that I was preparing to do an interview with was in an area that my husband and I were interested in relocating to at the time. So when this person failed to show, and you know, I waited around, you know, maybe they're late. Surely they couldn't have forgotten. But the longer I waited, the more I realized this person was never going to show. I was hurt. I was left speechless because I'm thinking in my head, how unprofessional. Who does that? You know, you scheduled the interview and the interviewer doesn't show. However, I continued to go to career fairs, ready to grab a teaching job, only to find myself blatantly disregarded. The recruiters preferred someone who was not as established, and I'm using air quotes here, established. Their perception, their tone, their mannerisms, their play on words suggested that they preferred the younger, fresh out of college individual. The numerous times of hearing, "Oh, you're married?" Or, "Oh, you already have a family? You have kids?" This is during the ice breaking point where you go up to the table and you're presenting your resume and they're making small talk and they're glancing over your resume. And you know, the question of, "Well, tell me a little bit about yourself." So I do. Didn't feel the need to leave out that, yeah, I have a husband and children. If anything, I would have thought it would have been taken as, "Oh, she's family oriented." But again, that's my thinking, which was obviously incorrect at this time. But I kept in my head as the people were talking, this is different individuals. The questions and their phrases of things that they were saying, I'm thinking in my head, like, why are you really asking me that? As if that has anything to do with anything. I left this career fair like literally screaming out to God that I had had enough. I can't do this anymore. You know, the nerve of these people, the audacity. But it's like anything else, you know, ageism, classism, sexism, racism, you know, all the isms that exist when you're trying to obtain things in this world. And as I, you know, thought on this, often frustrated, every time it popped up in my head, I couldn't stop. And wouldn't you know it, another career fair had come up. And literally, you know, I didn't care. I really didn't. I got tired of people telling me about it, or, you know, did you see the news report on the career fair that's coming on such and such date? Yeah, I saw it. You know, you give them, yeah, I saw it. All in your head, like, and so what? Just being honest, you know, can I talk to you? Just being real with my thoughts here. But I reluctantly went, and to be honest, I didn't have any high expectations. It was just another thing to do. I interviewed again with some other schools. However, this time I was leaving with some promising yeses. 5 years of going back and forth, revamping resumes, and practicing answers to questions that may be asked. 5 years of wondering if any of this was worth it. It took 5 years before I landed my teaching job. Now, just to throw it in, you know, an additional factoid if you must. I have worked before now. I have worked in a corporate environment for many years. And for the most part, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the people there. They were like family. And to this day, I still talk to many of them. Yet, I knew at a particular time when something was going on that my season at this place of employment was up. Now, after leaving this job, I was working with college-age students. I enjoyed that because it was more of a small group setting, and I still got to teach, tutor, see the bulb pop on when they discover what it is that they could do and what they learned and how far they've come. But I was also homeschooling my own children. But not wanting the degree to be just a decoration on the wall, I persisted so that I could be an asset to my family. Hence my frustrations of how in the world this could take so long to get a teaching job. It wasn't like I wasn't trying. I persistently put out applications and resumes, follow-up calls to no avail, often getting the cold shoulder, you know, or the same answer. Oh, we haven't received your resume yet, but when we do, we'll contact you. You know, the answers, those generic-based answers that they give you when you're seeking employment. But seriously, we all have obstacles in our lives that we will need to overcome, or that will need to be overcome. But that's just it. We were made to be overcomers. We are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37 says, "Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." If we believe this, then we should speak it. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Overcomers don't give up and cave in. Now, granted, we may want to a lot. And for me, it was and is a minute-by-minute situation. Not being intentional with it or being, for lack of a better word, I don't know. It wasn't like I was intentionally just being flip-floppish. For lack of terms I'm trying to find right now, it's, some people would probably call it depression, but when I'm up, I'm up. When I'm down, I'm down. And I don't want to be that way. I don't like being that way. I want to stay even and not shaken by what comes my way. But that is my truth right now. And the only thing that really kept me from jumping from the ledge, besides family, was hope. In order to shine through, we have to be determined to keep fighting against all odds. Vince Lombardi's winners never quit and quitters never win, though cliche-ish, tongue twisted, has merit. And yes, I do know that it's easier said than done. I'm still a work in progress in many areas in my life. I have not arrived. I'm not sure I will. Meaning that the only thing I can continuously work on is being a better version of me than I was the day before. I'm perfectly imperfect. I mess up as a wife. I mess up as a daughter. I definitely mess up as a mom, a sister, and a friend. My mess ups are not intentional and are not meant to cause harm. But it seems like since March of last year, 2020, I've been in a pressure cooker. And not that I haven't experienced some stress levels prior to last year. You know, the pandemic has brought on a newer awareness of mental health concerns. The levels of stress has grown exponentially in a lot of us, myself included. Now, whatever your opinions are surrounding this global crisis, they are yours. I'm not here to change them, but the heightened awareness of some of us not being okay is a cause for concern. And I know, you know, we get our eyes taken off things and put on the wrong things. I get that. You know, I've read many statements online where people are being shunned for doing what they feel is necessary to keep them safe in this time. Now, in this regard, they are being relentless or doing their due diligence to protect themselves and others. In a time where division amongst us is growing, I would hope that we would become unwavering in our pursuit to be more caring, compassionate, and considerate of others and what they are going through. When that pressure becomes too great, we often quit. The pain of what we're going through is too much to bear. The lack of support or the negativity of others overtakes us. But choose to not lose heart. Choose to be persistent in that thing you are being called to do. People are not going to understand your purpose, your vision, or your aspirations. The world didn't give it to you, and it's definitely not theirs to take. Push through anyway and be relentless in the pursuit. And while you're at it, make sure you shine bright. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to today's episode. I want to end with a quote by Babe Ruth that says that you can't beat the person who won't give up. Be the person who won't give up. And as you're doing it, loves, keep shining. God loves you. He wants the best for you. So want the best for yourself. And until next time, thank you for tuning in. This is your host, Sonya Nelson of the Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast, signing out. Until next time, have a blessed, blessed day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.